Hello and welcome. It's episode 59 of Canberra Conversations with your host, Colin Campbell. And today's conversation, we are diving into life on YouTube, the subject of curiosity and exploring happiness with Joe Delaney. Joe is a YouTuber and an online coach and somebody whose content I've consumed hours of during my 20s. We learn a little bit from Joe around how he went from a first-class maths graduate to a career on YouTube and in the fitness industry. I think anyone that's watched Joe's content over the years will know that he refuses to conform to the typical cookie-cutter stereotypes of the fitness industry, particularly on YouTube. And we learn a little bit from him around how he's continued to create content that he remains happy with and satisfies his creative desire rather than bending to the will of maximizing views or growth of his channel in pursuit of beating the algorithm. As part of this discussion, we explore how Joe has changed his content over the years in line with who he has become as an individual. And as part of this, we look into his curiosity for many different areas and aspects of life, as well as his interesting outlook on happiness and contentment. Lastly, one of the key areas that Joe has dove into in the last couple of years has been personal finance. And we discuss where his recent interest in that has come from, as well as some of the things that we can expect from him in that space. I'm delighted to say that today's podcast is brought to you by Suns. Suns is a men's health brand that's helping guys with one of the key areas that we often don't really like to talk about, and that is men's hair loss. I have shared in recent months around my own experience with hair loss. As a young guy at the age of 21, I noticed that my temples were receding and thinning out at the front of my hair, and I took action using finasteride for the last 7 years. Suns offer a wide range of medically proven solutions, including finasteride, and you can visit suns.co.uk and take part in one of their online free consultations to understand what the extent of your hair loss is and potentially where it's going. If this is an area that concerns you, there are so many different options you can seek out, and they deliver results in 9 out of 10 men through a range of options from monthly packages all the way up to 3 or 6 month subscription packages. If this sounds like you need to get involved, then you can visit suns.co.uk and use the code SUNSCAMBRO to get £20 off your first order and say hello to the new old you. Without any further ado, I'm really excited to bring this conversation to you. As I said, Joe is somebody I consumed a lot of his content myself personally, so to be able to bring him on and have a great chat with him was really exciting. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button. Please share, like, and post out to your friends. Let's get this message out there. I cannot wait to hear all your feedback. Let's go. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Canberra Conversations. And today's conversation, we are joined by Joe Delaney, famous YouTuber and all-round good guy. Joe, I see you cringing at that intro. How are you?
Flatter me. I'm very well. Thank you. Thanks for having me as well.
Delighted to have you, Joe. And this one was one that I was always looking forward to doing at some stage. I guess I wondered at what point I'd be able to use my leverage to get you on and get you interested. But one of the ways that I did it was through the fact that I'd had Andrew Craig on the podcast. And that's an area that you're kind of falling more and more into nowadays in terms of the financial world. What led to that?
Yeah. So first of all, I want to say, like, that's not why I'm here, you know. So actually... I kind of made a conscious decision to myself to do more podcasts, really, because, like, people do ask me from time to time and I enjoy chatting. I feel like it's just a bit, I feel like it's nice of me to at least, you know, get involved in other people's content rather than solely focusing on my own, right? Now, to answer your actual question, really, it was a gradual thing. So I didn't really think about money as a concept for a lot of my life, right? And then it was only really because really I didn't have enough of it to for anything to feel like it would make a difference, right? And it was only really, I think, 2019 when I started looking at buying a house. I had to think about things like what a mortgage is, you know, what interest rates are, what your credit score is, all these kind of things that I'd never really even considered before in my life. And so I went down a bit of a rabbit hole. I started getting a bit more interested, and then it just kind of went from there. And so now it's just kind of another thing that I suppose I show some kind of interest in and try and, you know, swat up in my spare time. Because I just feel like it's something that can really doesn't take that much of like educating yourself on at least the basics, but to have quite a positive actual impact on your life. You know what I mean? It's one of those, it's quite a high return, you know?
Yeah. I definitely overuse the phrase low hanging fruit on this podcast, but it's one of those ones where with a kind of minimal effort, you can get quite a substantial return, like you said, in terms of a low level of understanding of the basic principles through things like Andrew Craig's How to Own the World. You can quite significantly change your financial situation for the longer term, for the better.
For sure, yeah. I think it's, you know, people don't realize the kind of downside of just coasting, you know, and kind of being ignorant to, you know, some of those things that will actually make a, you know, significant difference, you know, over the course of your life anyway, right? And we all want to, you know, everyone will save pennies, right? Everyone will buy, you know, we'll go specifically to Aldi to save like 20 quid on the food shop, but then you won't think about the things in the background, like how inflation is, you know, making you poorer every year, you know, and all those kinds of things. And so I think if you're going to consider one, it just makes sense that you should consider the other, right?
Now, this financial side of things is a way that you've maybe gone in more recent years with your, well, actually maybe just this year in terms of the new channel that you've got alongside your previous channel and current channel, I suppose, as well. Where did it all start then in terms of YouTube? I know that a lot of people, when I was mentioning to them that I was going to have a chat with you, they said, oh, well, what about Joe, the kind of first class maths graduate? How did he end up as the YouTuber?
Yeah, so it's kind of a lot of it is just down to, I suppose a lot of everything really is just down to how the chips fall, right? And I mean, some of it certainly was a conscious thing, right? So really, it started when it must have been around 2012. So after uni, I traveled for a bit. You know, I traveled because I didn't want to be a grown up yet, right? And then eventually when like my money ran out, I had to actually be one and get an actual job. And I was lucky that I kind of fell into something. I just got back from that trip away and I fell into a job where I could make a little bit of money, at least a decent amount if you're living at home with your parents, right?
Yeah.
And then kind of get a bit of money behind me. So I kind of did the same thing, saved up a bit, traveled again. And then while I was on that trip, I really just took some time to myself and just thought, right, make a plan, right? You know, because I just didn't envisage myself going down like a quote unquote typical path, right? Because I need like stimulation, you know. Like I actually when I was working this job, I was working for Bank of America. It was just like financial services contracting. It was not exciting stuff, right? But I realized how much that actually affects me, you know, my day-to-day mood. Like I was a different person, like just a different person completely. And actually, if I knew myself then, I would not hang out with me. Do you know what I mean? I was just a bit just negative, man. And so when I went on this trip, I thought, right, you know, what can I do? You know, what do I want? And I just wanted all the typical things, right? I wanted all the, it sounds a bit, I don't know. Sounds like you're asking for a lot, right? But I wanted to be able to travel.
Yep.
Whilst I earned money. Right. I wanted to be able to do something that was, you know, would at least allow me to kind of connect with people or be in different circles other than my immediate geographical circles or, you know, and it was at that time really that kind of online fitness was becoming a thing or at least it was gaining a lot of traction at that time. And so I had been training at my hometown gym in Runcorn with a few lads, my brother and a few lads that I went to school with. And I think it was one of them who kind of put me onto the fitness, the online fitness scene. I was going to say fitness YouTube, but it wasn't really fitness YouTube then. We actually started making Facebook videos, right? Because we made a Facebook page.
Yeah.
And we made like stupid videos that were supposed to be somewhat funny. Some of them were, some of them weren't. And eventually it got to the point where like I was the one kind of pushing it. I was the one, even though it was just a hobby, we didn't even think about making money out of it at that time, really. But I was the one being like, hey, we should film this video. Oh, let's do this. Let's go and do this. And people dropped off, you know, people like got jobs or girlfriends or whatever, and were somewhat, you know, distracted, or just didn't care as much about it as me. And so then it was kind of just me and my older brother left, still making some videos, putting them on Facebook, still just a kind of a hobby. But we
I remember the Del Bros channel. I remember that was one of the first times I saw you, the whole is a pancake littering legacy.
Yeah. So that grew out of the Facebook page originally.
Okay.
And again, like a bit further down the line, it was just me, you know, I just could tell that he didn't really care about it as much as I did, wasn't really as, you know, bothered about making stupid videos, like, which is fair enough, right? And so eventually I thought, well, I'll just do my own shit because, you know, it's hard to encourage people to do stuff that they don't really want to do, right? And so by this time I was thinking, maybe you could actually make money doing this, because there were like early like online personal trainers like Joseph Rakic and like some of the real like ones who are early to the game. And I thought, actually, maybe you could make some kind of money off this, right? And then I saw Gymshark grow like super fast. It's funny. Gymshark sent me a stringer back in the real early days. They posted a picture of us when they had like 20,000 likes on their Facebook page.
Yeah.
They probably didn't have an Instagram at this point, right? Well, I don't think it was really a thing. They had 20,000 likes on the Instagram page. And I was like, shit, this is sick, right? A page with 20,000 likes. Yeah. Just posted a picture of us. And I was like, yeah, we made it, right? But I kind of witnessed how fast Gymshark grew. And I just thought, this space is actually like getting somewhere, right? And I suppose I had to lean into it. It was a bit of a leap of faith in the sense that like, I didn't make money for a long time, right? Because even when I was YouTubing for maybe, is that a verb, YouTubing?
You've made it one today anyway, yeah. So we'll go with it.
Even when I was YouTubing for like, maybe the first year or so, like I made like zero money, man. Not zero, but very, very, very little, right? And so I was lucky that I'd saved a bit that I could live off.
Yeah.
But it got close, right? It got close to zero, you know, before I started making enough to live and survive. And then it's because really partly that's just my fault, because I didn't really monetize. I mean, still don't really maximize how much I could really, you know, make out of everything. Just because you're trying to play some kind of balance out of like, you know, ultimate just making money and then also actually having some kind of creative freedom, you know, enjoying what you do. So there is always that contrast, like that balance you're trying to strike. And so, I mean, I guess it just grew from there, like slowly at times. And then it was only recently in the past, maybe 2 years, that everything really took off. I think before then I did garner quite a kind of,
would you call it a cult following?
Don't want to say cult. You know, quite an invested kind of group niche, right? Just because of the kind of content that was putting out in the early days, all that kind of stuff, right? And so, although that was enough, really, and I could still be, you know, living like how I do now, probably just off that. I did hit a point where I was like, I'm gonna actually have a go at this, right? I'm gonna actually try, you know, actually try like grow my YouTube channel instead of just like trying to be cool all the time. Do you know what I mean? Why don't you try and actually, you know, have a go at it? And so really it was only from like maybe summer to 2019 that things really kicked off, at least in terms of like YouTube.
You know? When it comes to you talking about money, I remember maybe you'll know in the dates, but it was you and Tommy B out in Australia, and you genuinely were
quite skint.
Yeah, you were like, please buy my plan so I can eat next week.
Literally, yeah. That was the point. There's been a couple of sketchy moments, right? But that was probably the point. I remember I had like literally not enough money to get a flight home, and so I was lucky that it was like Christmas, New Year. And then as soon as Boxing Day came, I sold a few training programs, got a couple of people on for like coaching and stuff, and, you know, managed to gather a little bit of money, which got me home in January. So
the return. So in terms of that evolution of your content, that's probably one of the big themes that I would want to talk to you about. You've gone from, like you say, maybe quite a lot of partying, obviously a lot of training, a lot of kind of fitness informative content. But one of the things that kind of resonated with me is you refused to ever be, and I think maybe a term from yourself might be, a cookie cutter fitness head. And what was the pressure like to maybe do that in order for you to monetize sooner or to a greater extent?
Yeah, honestly, like zero pressure. Like I never felt like that because I'm like, maybe I am a bit stuck up in a sense that like just typical shit just makes me cringe to my bones. Like, and so there was never a part of me that was like, do a 10,000 calorie challenge. Like no part of me was ever gonna, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna ever do things like, not that there's anything wrong with that content, like certainly a place, like plenty of people watch it, they find it entertaining, whatever, but it has to be aligned with kind of what you know, what you want to do, what you feel like, you know, is somewhat congruent with who you are. And that kind of, I wouldn't want to do something all day or do something for a video that I felt like I was solely just pimping myself out, in a sense that like, I don't want to feel like, look at me. Do you know what I mean? Look at what I'm doing. Look how ridiculous this is, or like play on that kind of tactics to try and get views, right?
Yeah, if we think about YouTube, it's like an attention economy as much as anything. So if you have the most enticing thumbnail, the most eye-catching caption, and don't get me wrong, you would have to play the game to some extent, Joe. You'd be foolish not to. But being comfortable with what you've created is incredibly important, rather than 10,000 calorie challenge. That's maybe not something that sits comfortably with who you have been. Whereas if you look at any other fitness YouTuber, not any other, but the vast majority, they tend to be posting that kind of content. And that's where they get the most views. People love watching people eat. It's a strange thing. You do a full day of eating, but it's coming from a different place.
Yeah. So, I mean, to use your phrase, there is low hanging fruit, right? In the YouTube game, that is like drawing people into a video based on like shock factor or something like extreme that they can view, like, watch this person eat like this much food, you know, or things that are like overly kind of emotional and personal. I feel like if someone wants to do that, that's completely fine, but I would feel disingenuous, like trying to, you know, but luckily that's not the only way to do things, right? Luckily there are many ways that you can have a successful YouTube channel, right? And lots of those overlap with ways that you can be, you know, somewhat satisfied and comfortable with your own content, right? Now there are obviously plenty of channels that just put out some real questionable, you know, real questionable video titles and stuff.
Yeah, just from one thing to the next, Joe. So you could get a photo with Mags and be like, she told me what, or something like that, and straight away people are like, oh, something really personal about your relationship. But you've never really, although you've been incredibly open about your dating and your lifestyle, especially as a younger man, you never really used that as a clickbaity way to drive engagement.
Yeah, yeah. We had to leave, and then it's like you've just gone on holiday or something like that. Yeah, yeah. Of course, because like people kind of get confused about what clickbait is. Like, I fully believe in maximizing your title and thumbnail. Like, get people in, right? Of course, you know, especially if you believe it's a good video. But like, you can't mislead someone, right? And so to use something to, and even like exaggerating the gravity of a situation is somewhat misleading, right? But then it might be completely misleading, like, you know, saying, you know, we had to leave, and then you actually, it looks like you're breaking up or something. You know, if you're making somebody think that there's some kind of content in the video and then it's completely different, then you're just not going to survive like that. But even without clickbait, there is that side of it, the kind of vloggy side, which a lot of fitness YouTube is actually more, they're more just vlogs where people go to the gym than like anything to do with fitness, really. It's like a bit of lifestyle porn, you know, a bit of like, I don't know, like watching someone lift with no real context or, you know, whatever.
It's not even got a techie track behind it, mate. Who's
exactly
that?
Mate, exactly right. And a lot of vlogging. And like that's fair enough, but I feel like in a sense you have to choose what you're going to do, because a lot of people want to be vloggers but run it like a fitness channel. So the you can't title your video how to get abs and then have the opening 6 minutes of you walking around Aldi with your girlfriend, right? And like just, or you like going and viewing a house or going all day, like that's a vlog, right? And so if you are going to give credit to the, or at least give some respect to the viewer, then you have to give them what they are signing up for, right? What they click for, that's what you got to give them, right? And so if you're going to give, if you're going to give them a vlog, you better title it like a vlog and you better lean into that. See, there are a lot of kind of fitness YouTube channels where it's just a vlog, really. But the title is either something obscure about, like, I can't believe this happened, right? Or it's like or it kind of sounds like it's going to be informative, but then it isn't. Yeah. And that's one thing I think that holds a lot of people back. I don't say this to criticize people, right? But it's something that when I realized, it helped me a lot, right? So now I title a video and I think you are getting what this title says, right? And I'm not going to hesitate at the beginning of the video. I'm not going to say, oh, I decided to make a video about this because I was thinking this. I just say, this is the video. Let's do it. You know what I mean? And dive straight into it, because you don't want to waste people's time. And I think people actually appreciate, you know, getting what they signed up for, you know?
Yeah. Given that you built this, and we'll use the term niche rather than cult following, of which I was definitely a member of, it was because of the relatability to a large extent. And the term authenticity is so overused now, and actually
it's
probably has,
word, right?
Yeah, it has some pretty negative connotations. It's kind of sits in with virtue signaling. But how did you transfer from the kind of lively and maybe the term vibiness, the partying, the doing bits, the Tinder tutorials, through to maybe more what we see now in terms of home ownership, some of the Squarespace sponsored content where it's a bit more sit down and chat with Joe? You always had that, but maybe there's less of the wild stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So, see, I really just went with what I actually felt like doing, right? And if you watch all of my videos, you will see a wild contrast, right, over the years. So some, it might just be like pretty much nothing to do with fitness or than the fact that I am in somewhat decent nick, right? And it might be like going to Ibiza or something, right? Or it might be meal prep, or it might be, you know, something else, right? Completely different. And that is to my channel's detriment wholly. And I fully accept that having this kind of diversity of content does actually hinder your YouTube channel, right? But it's just something, it's just a price that I am willing to pay, right? Because I have an urge to make different types of videos, right? Just because I can't sit still, right? Because I'll get bored, you know, and I might go through different phases, right? For a time I thought, you need to decide. You need to really decide like what your channel's going to be and just do that thing, right? Because the channels that do best, it's one video, right? It's just one type of video, and it's the same, like, and it's just the same format, maybe like a different topic, or there's some variation on the same format over and over and over and over again consistently, right? That's great for growing a YouTube channel, because, you know, I subscribe to watch, you know, a vegan mukbang channel, and I get that every week, whatever. So it's great, right? And so you don't get people subscribing and then not watching the content that they're not interested in. And so that would be what I would do if I was just solely about, let's get as many subscribers as possible, let's make as much money as possible, etc. But I just do not have that in me, because if I do anything too much, I will just get bored, right? So I'll get bored of vlogging, right? Travel vlogs, it sounds nice, right? You just go on holiday, film a bit, yeah, I'm at the beach, cool, right? But after a while, you'd be like, start questioning something. What is this content like? Am I just showing people me day? Like, is it even entertaining? Whatever, right? And I'm sure it can be entertaining, but you know, you have to be feeling it, right? And so really, although I used to kind of deliberate over this and think, you know, decide and just go with that, now I'm just like, you know what? If I can just concentrate on making every video good,
yeah,
in whichever category, whichever genre that video falls in, then that's going to be enough for me. Like, and so now I've got some subscribers who just want a particular type of content, and that's cool. And if they just want to watch those videos, if they just want to watch meal prep videos and nothing else, I am cool with that. Like, I'm not offended if someone chooses not to watch a video, right? And I've got some subscribers that will watch anything, just anything that I put out, right?
The ones that are there from the start, do you think they fall more into that?
See, maybe, but also I've probably lost a lot of the ones from the start as well.
Yeah.
Which again is fine, right? I ain't mad about it. You know what I mean? If you want to watch people in Ibiza every week, then that's all right. I'm not doing that every week, so watch someone else. That's cool. I'm not like, say it with complete, you know, good intentions. But yeah, I just kind of felt that I wanted to make this kind of video, I wanted to make that kind of video. Like recently, before I made the finance channel, I made a video like called "Why Is It So Hard to Buy a House in the UK?" or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that was just completely unrelated to anything I'd ever made before. But I thought, you know what? Like, I can do what I want, right? It's my YouTube channel. No one's going to like abandon me. At worst, people are going to just not watch the video, right? That's fine. And I thought, like, why don't you just be the person who does everything, right? Just instead of being the person who's the fitness person, the vlog person, you know, the informative person, you know, the person who chats shit about philosophy, you know, knows nothing about, instead of being all these people, just be the person who makes good videos, right? Just whatever it is.
You're not Joe Delaney PT. You're not Joe Delaney travel vlogger. You're just Joe Delaney, and you're the guy that wants to put out content that he's happy with and comfortable with. And the majority of your audience go with you for that, and you'll see that in your viewing figures and your demographics and the splits. And one of the themes that I thought about, Joe, was you've almost grown up a little bit online, and that sounds offensive to younger people, but you've matured online in terms of what you're posting and sharing. You don't party as much are you 30 now, Joe?
30, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't party as much at 30 as you did at 25. That's pretty normal. You're talking about buying a house at 30. That's pretty normal as well. People that have been on that journey with you, like me, who's 28 and done those things and went to Ibiza because I saw Joe Delaney's vlog there, or was a factor in, at least it influenced my decision in a positive way. There's a lot to that, seeing you go on the journey that you're on, that young guys like me who followed you from an early age can relate to.
Well, you know, people say often when you know, people who don't really maybe are a bit pessimistic about social media long term, as a career choice, will say like, oh, what are you gonna do when you're 50? You know, and I'm like, make YouTube videos, you know what I mean?
Or whatever platform it is.
Because maybe the older, yeah, exactly, right? Because maybe the older generations now don't watch that much YouTube or partake that much in social media, right? Whatever. But that's because it wasn't a thing for them when they were younger. Like I'm happy to grow up and grow with my audience, right? That's fine. I'll make things that apply to the people that watch at the time. And so like I don't think that one day, you know, of course, if I was going to be like, no one wants to watch a 50-year-old bounce around Ibiza. Right? Actually, it sounds pretty entertaining. I'd probably watch it. But
Wayne
you
Lineker does it
know,
every year, doesn't he?
yeah, exactly, right. Exactly. Someone needs to tell him though, man.
Agreed.
So you know, no one's gonna and that is why, really, that's why I had to. When I felt, you know what, maybe you want to party a little bit less, maybe you want to focus on some different stuff, right? That's why I had to reflect that in my content, because like you said about quote unquote authenticity, right? I hate using this word. I hate talking about, you know, authenticity and being real, right? But there's nothing worse than watching someone do something like without conviction, right? That's why, because you know what I mean? Conviction is everything. Like, and if I'm out there doing stuff just to entertain people, what am I like? I'm just a prostitute, right?
The like
I'm just
engagement.
like, I'm here to dance when you say dance, like, and jump, you know, and that's not how I feel about it, right? I just want to make content that is that just satisfies the goal of that individual video. So if I want it to be entertaining, if the goal is entertainment, I want it to be entertaining. If the goal is, you know, to inform people, I want it to be informative. If the goal is humor, I want it to be funny, whatever it is, right? And if I was just gonna stay doing, you know, people say to me, oh, how come you don't party as much anymore? And I'm like, because I went to Ibiza like 7 years in a row, right? Do you know what I mean? At some point, you've got to do something else with your life, right? The ultimate reason is because I don't want to. That's it. Like,
And you
and
don't
when
need
I,
to
if
do
I
that.
don't want to do something else anymore, I'll stop that. You know, if I don't want to make fitness YouTube videos, I'll stop that. And because you have to be able to, you know, make the choice, you know, at every stage in your life, don't you? Otherwise, you end up doing something you don't want to do, and then you might not realize at the time. And then you look back and you're like, shit, I just spent 10 years like not really enjoying myself, you know what I mean? Yeah, I grew up like a lot of things changed about me, and that's pretty evident, I think, at least looking at my content. But you know, also it's not just what changed about me, but also how I convey myself, how I carry myself is different, right? When I was younger, I was like shouty, in your face kind of abrupt, abrasive kind of guy, right? And people associate that with like, I don't know, I don't
High
being, you
energy.
know, being hyped, yeah, hyped, high energy, enthusiastic, right? I feel no less enthusiastic about life now than I ever did, right? But I don't shout it in people's faces. You know, my demeanor is much more chilled, laid back, right? Because that's just how it's literally just how I am.
You still come across with energy in your voice. No, I was laughing when I did some research for this. You'd spoken before about how you presented on the Del Bros channel in terms of very monotone and slow and not very enthusiastic about a chest routine or something like that. And then you kind of dialed it up to the whole yes now, the sick lad vibiness and stuff like that. And that's all part of who you were. But you can still hear in the way you're speaking on in this conversation, Joe, you have energy in the things that you care about and passion, and it comes through in your voice, but you don't need to shout about it. I guess that's maybe what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure, man. You don't need to tell, like, you don't need to tell people if you're happy. You don't really need to tell people that you're happy, man. If you're anything, you don't need to tell people. Like, it's, you know, that because it is easy. It's super easy to get too involved in like other people, you know, other people's perspective of you, how other people view you, right? So I used to read YouTube comments, and don't get me wrong, like I've never been one to get too hung up on things, take things too personally, but I would hate when someone misinterpreted me. I would hate when someone says like stuff like, oh, you seem a bit sad this video, or you've changed since then, you seem like different, is this because this or something, and I'm like, this is just a wild like misinterpretation, right? But that's just part of like, you know, 50-100,000 people watching a video, right? People do interpret you differently, and you can't get mad about it. You have to just like accept it, right? I used to think, oh shit, I need to like correct this person, and now I'm just like, you know, whatever, like
you appear to be quite a philosophical guy, and that's one of the pieces of content I've always enjoyed sometimes, when you just sit down and muse over some of your thoughts. Where did this perspective and outlook that you have for life come from?
I suppose I'm just interested, right? I just, and that's something that I don't know. It's not something I really nurtured myself or anything. I guess it's probably a combination of like my parents' upbringing and just like genetics. I don't really know, but I'm just interested in like people, like interactions between people, how people work, what makes people tick. Like I'm super interested in like happiness and what makes someone happy, because I feel like I've felt pretty extreme. I feel like I've felt a lot. Like it's hard to really summarize and articulate.
Yeah, you actually
exactly right. I feel like I've experienced quite a spectrum, right? And what causes that makes me it's super like sparks a lot of curiosity, and also like a lot of feeling, a lot of like having feelings, right, is really magnified by like knowing that they are shared. So I want to know like, what do other people feel like? And because really, like when you think about the first thing you do when you have some crazy experience, right, is tell somebody else about it, because you want to get what you're feeling from your head and put it in their head, so that you can both empathize, right? So that you can, because you want to be understood, you want someone to understand exactly what you're feeling, right? And so like, whether it's a good thing, a bad thing, you're trying to describe it to somebody, like your best mate, something happened, and you're trying to describe this story to them, and you feel like no matter how well you articulate, you can't get the nail on the head, you can't exactly pinpoint how you felt in that moment, right? And that's all you want, like as a human, and that just proper interests me. And so like, I think a lot, man, but I think a lot from a curious sense, because I feel that there's quite a contrast, in fact, on like how quote unquote deeply, or I don't want to say deeply, it sounds a bit pretentious, like on how, like, you know, how much I kind of can analyze things,
yeah,
yet still feel quite unserious, yeah, about everything. Like I don't, you know, I have a very like, I'm not a serious person, right? And that seems like a weird contrast between like thinking quote unquote philosophically, right? I don't like saying philosophically either, because people think I'm well read from a philosophical standpoint. I haven't got a clue about what Marcus Aurelius said, right? I don't know, you know, I don't know about Stoicism, I don't know about existentialism, I don't know about any, I don't read that kind of stuff, don't get me wrong, I've tried. But I just can't stick to anything like that. I don't really know what makes me kind of think a lot, but I suppose I'm just interested by some of the more grand questions. Like I find the middle part pretty difficult, man. I want to be either joking or and like having a laugh, or talking about something that's like in some way consequential to, you know, the world, our lives, whatever.
Yeah. One of the things you said there, curiosity, that was a key term that I'd written down before I prepped for the podcast. And I don't write too much down because I like these things to flow. But given that I've watched a lot of your content over the years and obviously followed closely on Instagram, you appear to be a curious person. And that came through in that in that kind of explanation there. One of the other things you said there is about happiness. Now, you appear to be a happy person. So that surprised me when somebody, you saying about a YouTube comment, for example, oh, you seem a bit sad here, you seem a bit sad here. You've never really come across as sad. You appear to take pleasure in a lot of the smaller things in life, like the cracking of a can of Monster, the eggs for breakfast, the chance to go and train in the gym. How do you think you have accomplished the ability to be quite happy from basic things?
Yeah, so like I don't want to take too much credit, like, because I do feel like a lot of how your mindset ends up, like, of course I don't want to relinquish any responsibility, you know, for one's own happiness in the long term, but I also feel like a lot of luck is, you know, luck is a big factor in a lot of things, right? And so I guess, like, somehow I've ended up with a perspective that does, I do feel super appreciative of things. That's another buzzword, right? That's what you're supposed to say when you're an influencer. Grateful. I appreciate you guys so much. Start every day with my gratitude journal, right? And I don't know what it is or what's caused it, so I probably can't give you an answer, but I do feel like I do get something out of little, you know, out of simple things, like whether it's just, you know, spending time with your family or like, like food or like anything, because I feel like there ain't much else, right? I just feel like everything reverts back to the simple things, right? Because what else, you know, what else do you want, right? You can have extreme experiences, right? You can get adrenaline from extreme things. You can maybe get a sense of fulfillment from like great achievements, you know, and feel like kind of satisfied with maybe what you've done in your life. And so there are obviously a lot of good things you can experience, like, but 99% of your life is day to day, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like Elon Musk ties his laces in the morning, right? He gets up and thinks, right, I've got to eat breakfast on. So at some point, you and Elon Musk are just sat at a table eating breakfast, and his table might be nicer than yours. His breakfast might be nicer than yours, but how much nicer, really? If you've cooked yourself a nice breakfast, is it going to be that much nicer? Probably not, right? Probably not going to be, like, you know, proportionally nicer to how good you feel got, yeah. Like hit exactly right. Yeah, it's not going to be like a billion times nicer, right? And so like 99% of your life is just proper normal stuff, right? Literally, like, you're just in the car on the way somewhere. You're like, I don't know. You're just eating your dinner. You go in the gym. You're going for a walk. Like, that's literally the lion's share of your whole existence, right? So if you can't, that's, you have to, you know, you can't just live your life trying to, you know, thinking that like, I need to get these like mad experiences or something, because that's the only thing that's worth anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes we live with like certain dates in the calendar, like circled, like I'll be happy then when I achieve X, Y, or Z, or I'll be happy when I get to fly to Bali or whatever. Now, of course, you're proportionately, your happiness versus a weekend in Glasgow or a weekend in Manchester is going to be different to when you're abroad with the sun and whatever else, maybe under the influence of alcohol and stuff like that, that will heighten the experience. But your pleasure in the day-to-day things, and I certainly think that's something that I'm quite comfortable in myself as well. Do you think that's helped you deal with a period like the pandemic, where a lot of the big high extreme events have been removed from our kind of reach?
Yes, probably. I again feel pretty lucky in the sense that, like, I really have not been affected, like, almost whatsoever. Like, even maybe just now, maybe just like in the last like few weeks, I've started to feel like a bit of cabin fever, a bit restless, a bit like, shit, I'm, you know, days are passing by, I'm not doing anything. Yeah. And so maybe after a year or so of this going on, I'm starting to just feel some minor discomfort with the whole situation. But that's it really. Obviously I'm lucky, like I don't want to, you can't really say like, oh, this is all mindset, do you know what I mean? Because there are real world things, like there, as you said about the difference between being in Bali or in Glasgow, right? Real world factors do, you know, have a massive impact, right? I have steady income, I can work, like without, I don't need to go anywhere, I can work from home or whatever it is that allows me to feel like some sense of progress, right? And that's something that a lot of people I think will probably struggle with, being purpose locked down
as well. Purpose in your work.
For sure, for sure. My immediate family are all fine, as in my mom and dad are already retired, they're not affected financially by it, you know. I mean, they're getting on, so they have to be careful, of course, like just from a risk perspective, but they have active like hobbies and stuff. They're always like, you know, riding the bikes, playing instruments. My mom's got an allotment, she grows every fucking vegetable under the sun, you know what, and all that kind of stuff. So like I don't want to say, oh, I got through the pandemic because I have this mindset, right? Because I really do think that you can talk about mindset as much as you want, right? But your first port of call should always be practical things, right? That are gonna, you know, because you can, like, I don't know if you read Viktor Frankl's Man Search for Meaning, right? So you can try, when you cannot change your circumstances whatsoever, then for sure some kind of, you know, you can do some kind of mental gymnastics or whatever to try and improve your outlook on that situation, right? If you've got no other option. And like, for sure, improving your outlook on things or how you approach things, your mentality towards whatever it is can help. But usually it's much harder to get yourself to a place mentally where you can like cope with difficult things than it is to just fix the things. Like usually, like I'm I suppose a pragmatist in that sense. I think a lot of the, it's kind of maybe a bit damaging, the whole, you know, everything. If someone says like, oh, it's all about mindset, I'm like, is it about mindset, right? Like, is it all about mindset, right? Because like, that's why I say a lot of, you know, like I'm happy, right? Because I'm lucky, mainly because I'm lucky, right? And like, I don't know if I have any kind of like mental resilience. Like, I don't know what, I've never really had to deal with any major tragedies in my life. No real hardship. So like, who am I to sit here and take credit and say, well, it's all about, you know, plenty of people sat in their ivory tower saying it's all about mindset. Like, and I don't like putting too much focus on that, because you really take away from the real everyday hardships that people go through. And it's probably somewhat patronizing to tell people, oh, just think positively, you know, think positively about your situation, you know. Really, yeah.
I certainly think you've hit on a keynote there in terms of circumstance, like you say, financially secure, able to work, the purpose from that. Your home gym has probably played a big role in that. My access to garage gym has played a massive role in that for my ability to be mentally strong and resilient to a period where a lot of people would be struggling, like you say, if you were stripped of your purpose. But equally, I do think that if you were reliant previously on like massive highs of like 3 or 4 holidays a year, and in terms of actually reliant on that, in terms of for your happiness, in terms of ring fencing those dates, or you were reliant on maybe using a lot of different substances every single weekend in order to feel some sort of stimulus, then this period would have been harder than somebody that perhaps does enjoy a walk out in nature with their headphones in, or a simple gym session. Appreciate that's been taken away from a lot of people as well. But if you feel like euphoria or like good vibes from these things, it does make it easier. But yeah, again, it comes back to access and circumstance, which you've probably neatly encapsulated for us, Joe.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not going to say I don't miss going on holiday, right? Of course, I miss traveling. I have a newfound hunger for partying might revert to some 2015 vlogs. Like, you know, I've got some pent up energy there, for sure.
I said we're coming to Glasgow, mate, so we'll get a ticket for you.
Right, well, let's do it, man. So, like, of course, like, I would say, like, I miss those things, but going back to deriving the large portion of your kind of everyday satisfaction from the simpler things, then those simpler things are all still here, like most of them, apart from the social contact, which really is a sucker. Like,
yeah, agreed, Joe. So I guess you talked about curiosity, and the last kind of area I'd want to go into is, are there any particular topics that really were quite deep that perked your curiosity? So for example, finance is probably one of the more recent ones. Are there any others which you've been like, I'm such a curious guy and I've fallen down the rabbit hole of a particular subject?
Probably not really, no. I think I like to stay pretty up to date with politics and at least like geopolitical affairs and what's going on in the world. So I do take quite a keen interest in that kind of thing. And then not really apart from that, no. I mean, like you say, kind of finance, investing, trying my hand, you know, losing a bit of money here and there. You know, but nah, there isn't any burning or hidden passion there.
What are the key lessons that you've learned from your initial foray in the finance world then that you think are relevant to the audience?
Okay, so are we talking finance generally or like investing?
Not trading, but finance, yeah. Finance and investing.
Okay, that's a difficult one. I think really the key things to be aware, right? So the first thing you have to think about, right? So there's obviously two components to like your, how comfortable you are financially, right? It's how much you earn and how much you spend. And so like both equally as important, typically we have like generally more control over how much we spend versus how much we earn, at least in the short term, right? Because you can choose not to go for the meal, you can choose not to whatever, you can be frugal, but you can't like all of a sudden maybe increase your income depending on your circumstances, right? And so like there's obviously a conversation about like consumerism, consumerist culture, showy flashy culture, which is a conversation that like really I'm a prime candidate to fall into that, right? Because I'm on Instagram, I'm on YouTube, right? It'd be sick if I just like got a new car, blacked out with my thumbnail and was like, yeah, I got a new car, right? But it's just, to me, that's like a 10,000 calorie challenge, right? It's not like, if I don't give a shit about it for other people, I don't expect them to, don't want them to give a shit about it for me, right? And so like, I mean, we'll park that for a start, but I think the vast majority of people would, you know, at least do well to detach from the whole keeping up with the Joneses
renting side of things. Balenciaga shoes so you can wear them on a night out, or leasing a car that's more than your mortgage, all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, the thing is, right, you can't be expected to immediately just learn everything the first time it becomes apparent, right? But like if you keep spending on things you don't need and keep trying to impress people, and yet you're, after a while, you're still not seeing any kind of payoff in terms of your overall well-being, then that's when you have to notice that this shit ain't working right, for sure. And so like that's when you have to maybe break that pattern of behavior. But again, like I don't just want to like be someone who rips on like spending money and consumerism, like say you should never buy yourself nothing expensive, like whatever, you know what I mean? Of course, but you should like have, but it's the relationship that you have with that and how you think that, you know, how you relate that to other people's perception of you, right? So that's like probably one thing. But to be fair, I've never really been too bothered about that kind of thing, only because the reason I don't like to show off isn't because I don't want to look good. It's because I don't want people to know that I'm showing off. Right? Because that's the worst thing ever, isn't it? Right? Everyone wants to look good. Everyone wants everyone to think that you're like this cool guy, whatever it is, right? Everyone wants to be admired, right? That's just normal, right? That's just normal to some extent, isn't it? But like the worst thing would be to for people to know that that's what you're like trying to do, you know? And so like I've never really been much of a sucker for that, because I just I cringe at the thought of someone thinking I'm trying to make myself look cool or whatever. So like at least in terms of like spending and stuff like that, I've always been fairly, you know, fairly on it. I remember some early trips to Aldi with my dad, you know, getting taught some lessons about frugality and that. Now I do spend in other areas, of course. I'll probably spend
priority principle though, Joe. Like you'd rather spend money on stuff that has a return or a greater level of happiness for you rather than an extra pound on the steak from M&S.
For sure, exactly. So I suppose that's one side of it. And then beyond that, right, the whole reason that I really took an interest in personal finance, I suppose, is just because I just want whatever I do earn, I want that money. I want to make the most of that money, right? Because that's another thing that people will think about how they can increase their earnings. But actually, it might have the same effect if you just think about how you can make the most of what you do earn, right? And when I look at things like, I think we've got a budget coming soon from Rishi Sunak, and we'll see where all this public money is going, and like if any like tax changes are coming, etc. And that's another thing that I kind of I try and keep tabs on it, because I think like sometimes maybe you look at some government spending in a particular area and you're like, this is like questionable, you know, and so that's what makes me think at least I want to make the most of what I do have, right? Right, what's the saying, like the only things that are inevitable are death and taxes, right? And so that's what really like makes me want to make the most of what I do have. And like I don't have expensive taste, but I would like to, as a goal, right, I'd like to be comfortable myself and like have enough money for like at least my close family to also be comfortable. Just safety, that's it, man. Just safety. And then beyond safety, you can do what you want, right? Because that's just the whole diminishing returns of money and happiness again, isn't it? Like safety, security is literally all you need. And beyond that, cool, maybe go on a nicer holiday, go on a nicer restaurant, faster car, whatever, right? But when you sat on the inside of a car, you don't see the outside anyway, right? Do you? So again, it's the little things, right? You know what I mean? And like, I suppose that's my whole kind of reason for the
interest.
Personal finance. Yeah.
No, I think those are excellent reasons. And like you say, that return on what you earn is huge, isn't it? Because like you say, if you invest fairly safely, but correctly, you can see 10, 15% returns versus the inflation that we're facing. Whereas like in order to exponentially increase what I'm earning, although I work full time, I could move job or I could ask for a 10% salary increase and I could batter my way at that. Or I could invest my money monthly and potentially expose myself to that increase anyway without further input into how I earn more. Or I could launch an online course through this platform. But a lot of people aren't able to do that. They don't have to do that. So they're better off looking at kind of passive, low-hanging fruit returns from investment.
Yeah, exactly. You see a lot of people that you know make a video about how to make passive income, and then they'll come on YouTube and they'll say, "I'll make a YouTube channel." Right? It's not particularly feasible for a lot of people. The amount of time that it takes might not be a great, you know, investment in terms of ROI. You know, and so you do have to think about like individual circumstances, but like you say, there are broad principles that will help everyone. And I think one of the reasons why I suppose personal finance is becoming more of a hot topic is because everyone's like worried about, you know, the economic effects of COVID. Obviously like unemployment figures came out, and you know, and it's like generally, you know, a worrying time for people, I would say. And so again, that is the time when when it matters most, really, you know, because I've been bad with money. I've known people that are bad with money, right? And all I think about, you know, people paying like crazy interest on a credit card bill or store cards or whatever it is. I just think like someone else, right? This is a bit, you know, I don't want to, I'm not like, you know, rich versus poor Jeremy Corbyn vibe, but like someone else sat there in like someone's getting that money, right? You think about paying interest on a credit card. Like think about you, just the average person, right? You're probably earning like a normal wage or whatever. And like, you might be paying some like multi-billion, you know, pound, some bank that is worth literally hundreds of billions, right? Just bits of your money. And I just feel like it's a massive injustice, right? And like, there's a lot of political talk about economic inequality.
Yeah.
Right. But without any political shift whatsoever, you can adjust, there are ways in which you can adjust economic inequality, at least shift it in favor with stuff like, you know, buying your stuff from like local businesses, small businesses, as opposed to straight off Amazon, you know, and all these kind of things that you can do that would, if everyone got on board, would cause some kind of shift. Like, and so I think that's, it's more important than ever, especially, you know, nowadays, particularly in the UK. I think when I look at average wages, the hoops you have to jump through to get a job, you know, you got to do a phone interview, then you got to do a group interview, then you got to do a one-on-one interview, and then you get your grad scheme, and it's like some, that's literally, you couldn't even live, like you basically have to get a girlfriend and move in with her immediately, or live with your parents, right? And I think like the disposable income here, like, because there are countries where it's worse, obviously plenty, but there are countries like Australia where it's far better, right? Where someone can just work like, you know, what would be a minimum wage job here and might even be a minimum wage job there, but still actually live a decent life. Like, you know,
more spending power, don't they?
Exactly. More disposable. Yeah.
More cost of living potentially for things like accommodation, food, well, versus income anyway. So yeah, you're certainly right there. And I think financial education at a younger age is absolutely paramount, especially when you've got resources like How to Own the World, where it is what it says, plain English finance. I was fortunate, probably about 2.5 years before I read the book, I was investing kind of 10-15% of my post-tax salary in an index fund. But it also clarified a lot of other areas about inflation, interest rates, gold, other assets that I had absolutely no awareness of, including cryptocurrency as well. Although he's very much a bear against the
anti-crypto, so, yeah.
Although I've since become a bit more educated, and I do dabble a little bit in that space, but
right.
It's so interesting, Joe. And I think by people like yourself talking about it, it makes it not cool, but at least something that people should look at. Because oh, Joe Delaney's talking about finance. All right, okay. Well, I quite like his other stuff he talks about, so maybe he's clued up on this, and you're going to put it across in an actionable, understandable way rather than preaching from the ivory tower, as you said, in terms of sort out your finances, spend less on the weekend, stop getting a takeaway, sort yourself out.
Well, exactly right. I think over the past couple of years it became acceptable to talk about like frugality, or to even mention saving money, right? Because that's the opposite. That is the opposite of, you know, flashy, look at me culture, right? It's the complete opposite, isn't it? And like, that is so in your face. You know, you open Instagram, someone's got a new car, you know, it's like a conveniently placed trainer, you know, or like girls like getting these like fake designer bags, or like bags and then like sending them back and stuff, and it's this big massive like show, this big massive weird circus, like, you know, and it's just something you gotta completely remove yourself from.
Rally against it. But that, I think that's certainly what you're doing, Joe. And I think a lot of people will see the authenticity in that, even though we all both hate that term. You've certainly come across as authentic on the podcast today. Last question will be, for those that haven't already connected with you before, where would you like to signpost them towards?
You can just go to my YouTube channel, which is just Joe Delaney. So you'll find stuff there. You might come across one of the other YouTube channels at some point, but I'll just leave you to discover or not discover. That's fine.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us, Joe. Thanks to everyone for listening. If you've enjoyed it this time, please take a screenshot, pop it in your Instagram story, tag myself. Joe's handle is @ShredBundy. We won't get into why that is. And share it with a friend that you think would enjoy it. And I'll be back to speak to you all again very, very soon.